This morning I want to talk about judgment and forgiveness. I want to talk about criticism, condemnation, being judgmental, all contrasted with having an attitude and having a disposition of forgiveness. Don't worry, the power's not going off. I asked Lowell to do that. I've got a little bit more on the slides this morning, and it looks a little bit better with a couple of the lights off. But you know, Jesus was a forgiving guy, wasn't he? Absolutely, he certainly was. On the cross, Jesus did not judge and condemn those who had put them there. Instead, he forgave them. What we refer to as the Lord's Prayer, Jesus, in instructing us how we should pray, tells us to ask forgiveness as we have also forgiven our debtors, or in some versions, those who trespass against us. And kind of the question I want to frame this off this morning, the question I think we should all ask ourselves, and of course that includes myself, is can we really pray this portion of the model prayer with integrity? And what I mean by that is, can we, or are we praying this prayer asking for God's forgiveness, but at the same time continuing to be critical or judgmental of other folks? Do we really get it? I'll submit to you this morning that I'm just about guaranteed there are folks in the world that don't. Christians in the world that do exactly that. They say one thing and do another. They pray to God asking for forgiveness for their sins while at the same time holding others, not just holding them accountable, but holding them strictly accountable and refusing to give them an inch, refusing to forgive even the slightest transgression. What is forgiveness? What does it mean to forgive? First thing I did was ask my good friend Webster. That's the wrong Webster. Get out of here. That Webster looks better. I just did that to see if you're paying attention. Webster, the right Webster, says, forgiveness is many things. It is to cease to feel resentment against one another on the account of wrong. It is to give up any claim to retribution. It is to absolve, to pardon, and to remit the penalty. I've told you before that my knowledge of the Greek language isn't strong. I can manage to get a gyro and manage to get him to leave off that tzatziki sauce or whatever that stuff is. That's all I got when it comes to Greek. So I have to ask people smarter than me about Greek words in the Greek language. They tell us that the Greek word for forgiveness literally means to send away or to put away as if it never even happened. Why is it so easy? Why is it such a big part of human nature to pass judgment on one another? Why is it so easy to judge others instead of to forgive them? Why is it easier to look down on someone for what they've done and to get that finger out and to shake it and to point it instead of coming to folks with open arms? Why is forgiveness such a difficult task? There's lots of answers to that question. The first one I think of is because forgiveness is unmerited. It is unearned. It is a free gift for the person who is forgiven. I want you to think about the bank. Think about the bank holding the mortgage, holding the note on your home or property. If they suddenly called one day and said, hey, you paid enough of this debt. We're going to give you the rest of the house free and clear. We've wiped the debt off the books. It's forgiven. You own your home free and clear and you don't owe us another cent. Did you earn that? I mean, I guess maybe if the banker thinks you're a really nice guy, but no. It's kind of silly to think that the bank would do that, but it was a gift given to you from the bank. If we slow down and we break the word forgive apart, we find another clue. Forgive. We can't say it without saying give. Forgiveness being a gift isn't just a nifty part of the concept. It's a part of the root word itself. It is a gift, unmerited, unearned, and typically undeserved. Do we deserve God's forgiveness? No. Can we earn God's forgiveness? Can we earn His pardon? Also no. Often we hear someone justifying, or justifying is not the right word to put it, I should say attempting to justify, not forgiving someone because that person doesn't deserve it, don't we? We hear that all the time. They say, I'm not going to forgive them, or I'm not going to forgive him, or I'm not going to forgive her because they just don't deserve it. If you hear someone saying that, I'd tell you today that they just don't get it. And maybe that's why forgiveness can be so difficult. The world has us tied up in its definitions. It just has us believing that we just don't give stuff like that. We just don't give out those gifts. We don't just give out something as important as forgiveness. People have got to earn anything that they are going to get from us. Forgiveness is a gift. This is a quote I found on the internet. I'm not quite sure where it came from, but it certainly makes a good point. It says, "The Lord loves you even in your most undeserving moments." And it's true, He does. He loves us even when we're not acting right, even when we're not acting at all like the way He has taught us to be. But this goes back to our scripture from the model prayer. The Lord loves us even when we absolutely, positively, 100% are acting in a way that we're not supposed to, even when we would consider to be the most undeserving, then of course it's our job to pay that forward. I think forgiveness is also difficult because in the economy of our world today, it is unnatural. It ties in with our mortgage example from earlier. I like baseball. I love football, but I like baseball. Generally, you will find myself always making sure I don't miss a Razorback football game. I can't tell you that I've never missed a Razorback baseball game. I cannot tell you how glad I am it is September, so I can have the opportunity to be mad at my television set every Saturday and on a Friday after Thanksgiving and hopefully be mad at it in January, right? Right. But baseball, like every other professional sport, has those athletes that I say have more money than they do sense. You know who I'm talking about, right? Those guys at the press conference you just don't want to listen to. They're spoiled. They think they're the greatest thing to come to the sport since Gatorade. They have no concept of what it is to be a part of a team, only the concept of me or I or anything like that. But every so often you get a player with a good heart, don't you? Feel-good story, usually a guy whose parents didn't hesitate to jerk him up out of church Sunday morning, drag him outside and give him a good whooping. Those kind of guys. And they play with a good heart. They play with a good heart, a good attitude. They put team before self. And here's my question. Do the rules change for that guy? Does the umpire look at him and say, "Hey, I've seen you on TV. You didn't make it to the bag in time. But you have a good attitude, so we'll say this one's safe." No. He still gets the same three strikes. He still has to beat the ball to the bag. He still has to follow the rules. Our world teaches us, it programs us, it conditions us to live by a strict, rule-setting, unforgiving principle. We just don't forgive naturally, but instead it takes discipline, deliberate discipline, that is Christ-like in nature. I go so far to say there are children of God walking the world today who have probably become a little ineffective in doing the Lord's work. They've probably not been as effective as they have in the past simply because they refuse to have a heart of forgiveness like Jesus. Forgiveness is difficult. I probably didn't need to tell you that, but we talked about it this morning. But we also have to understand why it is necessary. Forgiveness is necessary because it is a crucial piece of our health, not just our mental health, but our physical health. Holding grudges versus being able to forgive has an impact. Has an impact on how we are, has an impact on how we are in our lives. Again, going back to the Greek, that most common word for forgive in the New Testament literally means to release, to send away, or to set free. I think we all understand how forgiveness sounds freeing, doesn't it? We say we forgive someone and we've let them go. There's a burden that, well, they should have had, right? Because if they didn't have a burden, why did we need to forgive them in the first place? But it's not just about letting someone else go. Forgiveness is freeing for us as well. When we truly forgive someone, we set ourselves free. Job 5 and verse 2 says that resentment kills a fool and envy slays the simple. The word resentment, as much as I try to think, I can think of no good concept for the word. It's one of those words that just, it sounds unappealing. I've never, and correct me if I'm wrong, you can come up to me after church. If you find a sentence where the word resentment is in a positive connotation, you let me know, because it'll be the first one that I've heard. I can't think of one. It just means to cling to the past. It means living the pain of the past over and over again. And I can't for the life of me think of why someone would want to live in this kind of misery. But I'm sure we all know people that do. We know people out there who have ruined a relationship, ruined a friendship, all because they just want to hang on to that pain, hang on to whatever's been done to them and bring it up, grudge it up over and over again. Job 18 and verse 4 says, "You who tear yourself to pieces in your anger, is the earth to be abandoned for your sake? Or must the rocks be moved from their place?" I mean, again, this just sounds awful, doesn't it? This is not my idea of a good time. It's no wonder Paul tells us not to let the sun go down on our wrath. This is exactly what Jesus is saying when he's telling us to turn the other cheek. You can say it a bunch of different ways. We can say forget it. We can say get rid of it. Send it away. Let it go. Now you'll have that song stuck in your head from that Disney movie. Whatever we do, we've got to get rid of it because it's good for us. But it's not just our physical health and it's not just our mental health that forgiveness is good for. It's also good for our spiritual health. Not just good for it, but crucial for it. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14 says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And I think we all agree that being resentful, foregoing forgiveness, it's not good for us. We know it's going to give us a headache. It's going to give us heartburn. It's going to make us grumpier than Ebenezer Scrooge on Christmas. We get all that. But that's not the worst of it. The greatest cost of being critical, of being judgmental, is right here in Matthew 6. It's the fact that we ourselves won't be forgiven. That's a sobering thought. If there's ever a reason not to judge, if there was something you were just finding, reading through your Bible saying, "I don't get this, I don't get that, or I don't get this," this is the one reason I would probably take it and run with. How we respond to others is how God will respond to us. Our relationship with others plays a crucial part of our relationship with Him. Forgiveness is also crucial to our witness. This is back in the model prayer in Matthew 6 and verse 10. It says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In my studies, I found a new way of thinking about this. Think about when we get to heaven. Are we going to have a critical spirit for those we find there in heaven? No. That's one of the best parts about it, right? All that stuff's going away. Are we going to have, we're going to find folks condemning others in heaven? Are we going to have to deal with that in heaven? No. Not at all. That's not what's promised us. In praying this prayer, forgiving us our debts as we forgive others, in essence we are praying, help us to make peace in our lives here, just like the peace we will have up there. It's a tall order. No, don't let anybody tell you it's not, but we mustn't only just say these words. We have to live them out each and every day of our lives. We have to pass on God's spirit of forgiveness to others. In John 13:35, we're told of our sign, of our witness to the world. Jesus says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." I think it's clear. It's clear we have to stop criticizing, stop condemning, stop judging others, and instead live out a spirit of forgiveness. And we do that because that will appropriately tell the world who we belong to. One master, and that is Jesus. That's the way we show that we are His and that we live by His teachings. As we mentioned before, forgiveness is a determined choice on our part. If you think back to Jesus on the cross and in pain, does He judge His Jewish accusers? Does He spit out fury at the Roman crucifixion squad? No. He takes the high road. He makes the choice to forgive them. It is indeed a choice. And that's how we can forgive so easily, even when we've been hurt so badly. We hear folks say again that they don't feel like forgiving. I just don't feel like it for whatever reason. That's because forgiveness isn't a feeling. It has nothing to do with a feeling. It is a choice. It is an act of the will. It is a determined choice on our part to do what God has asked us to do. Just like everything else, there's 1,000 excuses. Excuses are like elbows. Everybody's got a couple. It says, "But they haven't asked for forgiveness." Doesn't matter. "But they haven't apologized." We make Harry apologize. But we have to understand that Forgiveness isn't dependent on that. It doesn't matter. Forgiveness doesn't have to depend on the behavior. It doesn't have to depend on the repentance of the one who hurt us. We can make a choice. We can make a choice to forgive someone, or we can make a choice to judge them, to be critical of them. And it's our choice to make. We don't have to wait on an "I'm sorry." And we don't have to wait on a "please forgive me." We just have to choose to give them that gift. Lots of folks in our Bibles made those choices. Esau didn't judge. Rather, he forgave Jacob. Joseph didn't condemn, but rather forgave his brothers. David didn't criticize Saul, but rather forgave him, even while he was still trying to kill him. It's not an emotional reflex. That's not what forgiveness is. It's not an action-reaction kind of thing. It is a deliberate, rational act. We make the choice to forgive. Our relationships will be better because of it. So does forgiveness demand that we forget? Questions are getting a little tougher, aren't they? Does forgiveness demand that we forget? Well, let's think physically for a minute. Obviously, that there's no way for us to just erase something from our mind and it never be there again. They made a movie about that. These two folks fell in love, had a bad relationship, and they paid some guy to erase their relationship from their mind so it would never hurt them. And then, not knowing each other, they met each other on the train, and guess what happened again? We can't just do that. We can't just erase something from our mind. The deeper the hurt, the more difficult it is to keep that memory from bubbling to the surface. I mean, it's easy to delete pictures or songs or stuff on my iPhone. I swipe left and hit the red button. Off it goes, never to be found again. But we can't do that. It's just not that simple. God promises to forgive our sins. He promises to remember them no more. But at the same time, it's also true that God is omniscient, meaning He is all-knowing. Based on those two things, some people would say those two things form a little bit of a paradox. I don't. I think it's safe to say that God doesn't lose His memory. Instead, I would say He refuses to call those sins to mind. He doesn't hold them against us. He doesn't bring them up anymore. He doesn't base our future with Him on forgiveness of past sins. True forgiveness doesn't mean that we never remember what happened. It simply means we have removed the hurt out of the picture of future relationships with the one who has hurt us. How often should we be willing to forgive others? Somebody we know asked that very question, didn't he? Peter asked that question. In Matthew 18 and verse 21, it says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times.'" Other translations say 70 times 7. That's not to be taken literally. Jesus is not telling us that 77 or 490, depending on which translation you're reading, they're not telling us that's the limit. We're not supposed to sit here and keep hash marks until we hit 77 and then say, "I'm sorry. Bible says you got your 77, and 77's enough, so off you go." No, we're supposed to pardon indefinitely. We're supposed to offer forgiveness without keeping a record. This thought is echoed in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. It's talking about love here when it says it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Ephesians 4 and verse 32 instructs us to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Again, our forgiveness of others should be as boundless as the mercy of God towards us. Any kind of limit we try to put on forgiveness, any kind of conditions or how many times we can do it, anything like that, Jesus just shatters that. He just wipes it all out. We should also forgive because our relationships are worth it. Refusing to forgive can drive a wedge between us and our spouses. It can create a divide between us and our children. It can alienate us from our parents. It can split up churches. I'm sure we all know of places where that's happened. I'll admit right now, I've had some tough times with forgiveness in my life. There are words that have been said, actions that have been done that are difficult to swallow and even more difficult to forgive. But at the same time, I think I consider myself lucky because I have never had something so awful, something so bad happen that I have considered throwing a relationship such as these out over it. There's nothing I've said I would rather hold on to the hurt and hold on to the pain and refuse to forgive at the expense of the relationship. There's just never been anything in the world so hard to forgive that I would deliberately sacrifice a relationship for it. Again, maybe I'm lucky. If you've had that kind of pain, I'm sorry. We must ask ourselves if we're truly willing to become like Jesus. If you struggle with forgiveness, God is here for you today. He wants us to change. He wants us all to change. And He's willing to help us change. But that's exactly what we have to do. We must first have a change of heart. Forgiveness can't be flippant or sarcastic or hypocritical or any of those things. We can't forgive as God has taught us to forgive without affecting a change right here in our hearts. We have to be genuine. We have to be true. And we have to have pure motive. We must also pray for God's intervention. We've got to admit that we need Him to help us do it. Can't guarantee it's going to get any easier, but I know He will help. He can soften our hearts and give us patience and understanding. We've also got to be willing to get out of the revenge business. God tells us He minds that store. That's not one we've got to do for Him. And finally, we must act upon our good intentions. Be ready to say, I love you. And be ready to say, I forgive you. Sum it all up in the simplest way I can make it. We've just got to do what we know is right. This morning there may be those here who are in need of God's forgiveness. For you we offer this invitation. You can obtain that forgiveness now and this morning. You can leave here forgiven. You can leave here free from the guilt of every sin you've ever committed. You can become a child of God this morning by repentance and by baptism. Maybe there are others today who are already children of God but need some help. I don't have to tell you, life gets hard sometimes. The struggles build up and you feel like you can't take it anymore. We'll be glad to offer prayer if you have that need. Maybe you need prayer to help effect change with you. Maybe you need prayer to help accept forgiveness that's been given to you. If you have any need this morning, please come while we stand and while we sing.